Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level and see if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup.
Whacking and hacking away, can't knock it in. Hyman a chance. Vladar goes down, but he's not out. He makes the save, and he holds on, and that will do it. Time runs out on the Oilers. And for the first time since 2009, and just the seventh time in franchise history, the Flames start 2-0-0 tonight. They defeat the Oilers by a final score of 4-3 in the Battle of Alberta.
Two and oh after the weekend, and Flames fans are feeling pretty good about this new look club. Welcome to Sportsnet today here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, it's Logan Gordon along with you, coming at you live from our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios in beautiful Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And yes, you heard Derek Wills there on Saturday with the stats. It's been a while since the Flames can say that they had this good of a start to a season. It's just two games, but it's still a lot better than the alternative, and when you look at the opponents that the Calgary Flames have defeated on their way to this 2-0 start, it's got people feeling pretty good, along with some of the contributors to this victory for the Calgary Flames. It's got people wondering if this team is indeed better suited to handle the likes of Colorado and Edmonton come the playoffs. We're a long way from that, but it's so far so good for the Calgary Flames. We'll chat with Peter Labardius in just moments here to kick off the program like we always do here on Sportsnet today. Review a little bit of Flames and Oilers from Saturday and take a look at the week to come for your Calgary Flames. They're back in action tomorrow when they welcome in the Vegas Golden Knights. But coming up at 2:30, we'll have Matt Rose with your live edition of the Calgary Stampeders Report, a key loss for the Stampeders on the weekend to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. We'll jump in with Maddie on all things Stampeders coming up just after 2:30. But we'll go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Welcome in our Flames insider for the Gemini Group. It is Peter Labardius. The Gemini Group knows that your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering air miles, reward miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Good Monday afternoon, Lou. How are you, pal?
Yeah, I'm excellent. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing really good, thank you. And I imagine the
I have one quick question.
Sure.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, of course.
Okay. Is that Ballers music that you start the show with?
I don't know where that one came from. Aaron, do you know where you came up with that music bit? Is that from Ballers?
It's the Atomic Drum Assembly.
You like it, Lou?
Oh, okay. I do kind of like it, and it reminds me of the Ballers music, I think. Maybe I've got the wrong show, but have you ever wondered what it would be like to walk into the middle of a ring, flex an eyebrow, and 18,000 people go nuts?
I have had that dream before, yes. I do imagine it would be pretty cool.
Sorry, I don't know. I've heard the music for a few days now, and I thought before we got rolling, it makes me laugh every time I look at an old clip, and there he is, flexes the people's eyebrow, and 20,000 to 60,000 people lose their minds.
Oh, it's a good life if you're The Rock. I got to imagine it's he probably thought at one point, I don't know if this is gonna work, but it's worked out pretty well for him. Worked out pretty.
It's been okay for him, I think.
Worked out pretty good for Daryl Sutter's group so far too. To start the season, a 4-3 win on Saturday against their provincial rivals in the first of three Battle of Alberta's. I just give me your impressions of what you saw from the group on Saturday, Lou.
Well, it's interesting, Logan. To a certain extent, but different. There were certainly some similarities to the Colorado game, and I would begin with, you know, a terrific first period, as was the case, you know, versus the defending champs a couple of nights earlier. The only difference was is the Flames took full advantage. In fact, you know, if Dylan Dubé doesn't ring the post late, it might have been 5-1. Second period again, you know, not perfect. I didn't think it was awful by any stretch, but, you know, they got on their back foot. And as we talked about even going into the game, when you play really good teams with those types of, you know, superstar players, they're probably going to get you for a little while at a certain amount of time. You just can't afford to, you know, allow it to snowball like the Vancouver Canucks did on Wednesday. That's, you know, they got off to a marvelous start, led 3-0. But when that snowball started running downhill on them, they couldn't stop it, and they couldn't get enough penalty kills. What was really impressive about Saturday was how the Flames took the second, went into the third with a one-goal lead, and I thought as a group handled that third period very, very well, very maturely. They were the ones, even though, you know, Stuart Skinner, give him all the credit in the world, came in for Jack Campbell when he was overwhelmed and the team was overwhelmed early, and gave them every chance he could to get them back in the game. But Logan, during the season, and especially early in the season, I'm always going to be more focused on process than wins and losses. So it's great to get both, and they've gotten both. And the big difference for me is I love how they went about their business in the third period in a building that's not been easy, against people that have been very, very difficult for them to handle. And so that would be my overall take before we start to maybe breaking it down a little bit more individually.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear you talk that way, Lou, because I think the process even begins and can begin for this team, you know, game over game. You mentioned that Colorado game, and I think, you know, to a man, Daryl Sutter spoke about it, and a few of the guys talked about it after their home opener and said, hey, you know, yeah, great start. Even, you know, in the third period, we scored a couple goals, but we got away from it, and that'll cost you some nights. I just thought it was nice to see, even immediately, from the next game, them have a more mature third period in a very similar circumstance to what they were in against Colorado. And you're right, the Canucks have learned it. I mean, look, you don't have to tell this Flames team. The majority of the Flames team knows if you don't put up a mature third period against the Oilers, the guy wearing 97 or 29 could very well take over the game and turn it on its heel. So it was nice to see, even just, I'm sure, from a Flames perspective, a night-to-night transition and a little bit of progress in their game.
That's all you can ask for, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're looking for progress both individually and certainly team-wise. And if you believe in your group and your personnel, they're going to continue to show you, especially in some of the most adverse situations, as to whether they've made strides or whether they haven't. And that's why, you know, everything is day-to-day now and in our assessment, and it's so based on winning and losing. But, you know, not that I'm any smarter than the next person by any stretch, but I'd like to think I've always had the ability for a long time, and it's only because of experience and people in hockey that I've learned from, is you could win a game some nights, Logan, by 3 and not be very good. And on the other hand, there could be nights where you lose a game by 3 and be pretty darn good. And the ability to kind of take all of that in and differentiate, I think that's what coaches try to do. In fact, that's all they do. And always are asking for more, and how do you ask for more, and how do you keep pushing? You know, you want to win every night, but you want your people, it's like our conversation on Friday. In order to grow people into different roles and be better, sometimes it's not going to work out early on the way you might want it to. But if you do it right, over time, you're going to get to where you want to go.
no lineup changes for the Flames when it comes to night one and night two, except for in goal. And that raised a lot of people's eyebrows when we heard that Dan Vladar was going to get the start in Edmonton. I thought Dan looked very good on Saturday. Interesting to hear the coach say that, look, there's 26 weeks in the season, and we'd like to see Dan play once a week for this team. That's an interesting change to maybe what we've heard from the coach in the past. I guess just starting with Dan's performance on Saturday and what you thought when you heard the news that he was going to get the start.
What I thought when I heard the start, that he was getting the start, is I thought it was a pretty good scenario, but now I know the reason is I can't speak for Daryl. I'll never even try. I'm just trying to learn, and I try to learn every day about how he goes about his business. I know this about Daryl. Daryl has a plan in place for everything he's trying to accomplish. But those plans get formulated, I would guess, in no short part because of two things, Logan. What does he need from somebody, and what are they capable of giving him? So through the progression of last season, how Daniel Vladar has come back, how he performed in the preseason, the work that he's put in with Jason LaBarbera and the coaching staff, I think he is going to get more responsibility because he's followed the plan and he's deserving of more opportunities. And what a boost it would have to be for him, the team, if that plan, and he keeps accountable to that plan. He was terrific. He was absolutely terrific. He stayed composed. He made huge saves right down to the very last seconds. He can't ask for more than what this guy has done in any game he's played this season. He has been very good. And the difference, again, from my vantage point, and I'm going to be the first to tell you, trying for me, I never played the position. I never wanted to play the position. I find evaluating goaltenders difficult outside of, I always watch all players with this in mind. Are you getting better, and are you handling harder situations in a better way? And I come back to the same phrase, Logan, and I'm going to use it a lot. When you come to a new team and you're just trying to break through and prove that you can be an NHL player, that's step one. The next step is, do you truly feel like you've done the work and that you belong? He looks right now like a guy who belongs and who is ready to push for more. And I give him all the credit in the world. All of it. He's a good goalie.
Yeah.
And I think he'll continue to be a good goalie.
And here is Dan Vladar speaking post-game to the media, asked about the importance of getting the call in Game 2 and being ready to go, and some of Daryl Sutter's comments about him potentially playing as much as once a week for this team going forward.
It means everything for me, obviously. That's why I'm here. You know, I'm here to play my best and help the team every single time I get the call. So I don't even know that the coach said that, but if he said that, it's great for me. But obviously, I gotta perform real well every single time I get the calls.
The hardest thing to do in any situation that's competitive is to understand where you are in the process, what your role is, and what your job is. And I'm going to spend more time, because this year I can, trying to get to know this person better as an individual. But from the outside, here's what I've observed, Logan, is that he's an incredibly hard worker. He demands a lot of himself. He's incredibly respectful of the position that he's in. And I think he has been a terrific sponge for not only Jason LaBarbera and the staff, but he understands he has a terrific performer and pro to learn from in Jacob Markstrom. And I think it's all playing a role in his progression.
We're chatting with Peter Labardius here on Sportsnet today on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Calgary Flames 2-0 on the season after a 4-3 victory over the Edmonton Oilers in the first edition of the Battle of Alberta. Of course, a lot of people are going to take note of the Nazem Kadri goal that he scored. Lou, he's made a strong impression, and if we thought night one was good, I thought night two also pretty strong for the line of Kadri, Mangiapane, and Dubé on Saturday.
Nazem Kadri is a terrific hockey player and gives them a great competitor, gives them a confident person who believes in their abilities, and a guy that wants to win and is, I truly believe, driven to continue to draw respect as being one of the best centermen in hockey. He's terrific, and you can tell he cares. I watch him on the bench, certainly during the home games. He's always in conversation with people. That was even evident on the Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada coverage the other night. I love invested people. He's an invested person. He always has been. And I think he always will be. And this team, I think, through the years, has needed not only good people, because they've always had good people, but people that push the envelope, that aren't afraid to ask for more and demand more. I see him as one of those guys. And I think it's a great fit on, off the ice, carries himself with some swagger. I don't know how to put this so it's not taken the wrong way. He's not generally what I think about when I think about Calgary Flames players. And I mean that in the best of ways. He is nasty. He's competitive. He goes about his business. He's going to let you know whether he likes it or doesn't like it. And I don't have any issue at all with that, because you know what he does most nights, Logan?
Perform.
He backs it up.
Yeah.
You can talk if you perform and back it up. You can challenge if you perform and back it up. When you need to be careful is when you do all the talking, but you don't back it up. And you don't back it up when it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good the other night, didn't you think?
It's a professional, mature. There's not enough adjectives to go through it. I think in two games for me, Lou, he has. I didn't have this worry, but I know there were people out there that had this worry. He has totally done away with any sort of narrative of I've got my ring. I picked up a big contract in the off season. And I'm good to coast and finish off whatever NHL career I have. I know, and that's not just about Nazem. There are people who are in that same situation that he's in, coming off of a championship, that will have that narrative about them. And I don't think it's fair to just say that he's the only one that's gone through that. But I know there were people that wondered about that. He just won it with Colorado. He just, you know, signed this big contract. What's his motivation going to be like to do it again in Calgary? Watch the first two games and you'll see all of the motivation and all of the answers to any of those questions that you possibly could have had from him.
Well, you were there in part. I got a chance to finally have a look at the great video that, you know, that was shot when he was given his ring in the room by the Avs after the game. He looked like he was 3 years old at Christmas.
Yep.
You can give people sometimes all the money, and if they're not motivated the right way, there will be satisfaction. And you know what, Logan? When you win a Stanley Cup, there should be time for reflection and satisfaction. But I think the best people at their craft are that, because the only thing that does to you, you don't want less. You want more. And the more of those people you have, now you've got something. He looked like the happiest person you could ever see.
Yeah, he sure did.
It gave me shivers. It gives me shivers talking about it. Because there's nothing, especially now, where everything is so critical and how do we fix everything? And I get it. There's lots of things in life and in sports that need to be fixed. And the focus is always on that. And I get it. But I love sports beyond belief. And I don't miss all that other stuff. And in fact, I don't like a lot of the stuff that's out there and being talked about, because I didn't believe it and I thought it needed some change too. Because we have to grow. We have to get better. But when I see grown men celebrating like little boys, that's what it's all about for me. And that's why I love big games and big situations and big events. Because it personally gives me feelings that I can't get from anything else. And I crave it. And all I ever want is to be involved in more of it.
Had to ask you about how cool it was to see Michael Stone put up 3 points Saturday night. The patented Michael Stone slap shot that finds the back of the net. His first career 3-point night. He's really taken this opportunity that's been presented to him and just run with it. I think a lot of people were very happy seeing the numbers show up for Michael Stone on Saturday.
I don't know if I can give any more respect to a person than what I've seen from Michael Stone over the last number of years. And the reason I say that is this. I don't know very many people that I deal with, including myself, that could be, you know, kind of said, we do value you. We know you're at a certain point in your career. I don't know a lot of people, Logan, that wouldn't pout, that wouldn't work their, and I'm going to say it today, ass off. And just be a pro. Put his family first. Doesn't want to move them around. He's a great dad from every intention I can get. And right now, every time I watch him with the hockey puck, I see a guy that takes me back to 2009 and 2010 with the Calgary Hitmen. I see confidence. I see a big shot. I see a guy who went for a while with, well, I better get it and move it so I don't necessarily, you know, put myself on the wrong side of the equation. I am a big fan of this guy with a capital B, because I don't know a lot of people who are cut from that cloth, who wouldn't let the day-to-day grind, the extra work, not playing for 2 and 3 months at a time, and get to where I've seen them get to. And that's not to say that it's perfect or that there's not going to be other stretches this year where he's not going to have to sit and wait his turn again. But if you don't cheer for people like him, then you shouldn't cheer. Because that's my definition of success. And not just as a hockey player, but that as a person. To take adversity, to take a less than stellar situation and make the best out of it, and maybe even get to a better situation. That guy cares about way more than his team, than himself. That guy could teach a book. And in fact, on days where I'm mad and PO'd and thinking that my world's not in a great place, I think about guys like Michael Stone. He's a pro. I got a lot of time for Michael Stone.
Well, Lou, we got a busy week at the Saddle Dome coming up. We got Vegas tomorrow. We're going to look at the Buffalo Sabres Thursday.
Oh, that's going to be a good...
Yeah.
This is a good week.
Great week. And then the Carolina Hurricanes on Saturday night. That's a sneaky good Saturday night to for Hockey Night in Canada. I was looking at the schedule this week and thinking, yeah, you know what? We don't usually get the Eastern opponents as much on the late Saturday games, but I'm really excited to see Carolina on Saturday.
Oh, they're a terrific team. I love watching Rod Brindamore's teams go to work. I love watching them practice. And, you know, there's another guy I just think so highly of, and frankly, have since my early days of getting to know him when he was the 17-year-old captain of the Notre Dame Hounds.
Lots to get to on the week. We'll talk some Vegas Golden Knights hockey on a game day tomorrow, pal. Have a great afternoon.
Good team. Have a good afternoon, everybody.
Thanks, Lou. There you go. Pete Labardius for the Gemini Group. The Gemini Group Home Renovations. Know that your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group now offering Air Miles, Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Pete Labardius, the color voice of the Calgary Flames here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Joins us every single day to kick off Sportsnet today. And yes, we'll do a little game day preview tomorrow. Flames and Golden Knights, the battle of two undefeated teams in the Pacific Division. Jack Eichel, Mark Stone, Alex Pietrangelo, etc. Should be a good one tomorrow from the Dome. 7 o'clock puck drop, 6 o'clock warm-up with Pat Steinberg right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll take a break, come back on the other side, keep things going from the weekend that was. This time, instead of hockey, we'll go to football. The Calgary Stampeders dropping a tough result against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. We'll break it all down with Matty Rose next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level and see if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet today continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Monday afternoon, Flames are 2-0. We're feeling pretty good. First edition of the Battle of Alberta is in the books. Back in action tomorrow against the Vegas Golden Knights. Curious to ask the text line how the confidence levels feel in two games into this for the Flames. You never want to get too ahead of yourself because it is just 2 of 82, but I mean, that's a big 2. The two teams from the Western Conference final last year, both of them still, I think, pretty good teams, all things considered, in the Western Conference. Does it mean anything for the Flames play? I don't know. It's way too early to say anything like that, but I think, given that I don't think we've seen the best from Huberdeau, Lindholm, Toffoli so far, given that you've already started your backup goaltender in one of these games, I think the confidence level's got to be feeling pretty high. You have to continue it this week. There's no pushover when it comes to this week for the Calgary Flames either. Vegas tomorrow, Buffalo Thursday, Carolina on Saturday. And now you're right back into the grind of an NHL season. But I think you're feeling pretty good. Listen to some of the Flames Talk post-game show with Pat on Saturday night. I was surprised how many people were still sort of, you know, hey, I'd make this change, or I'm not feeling great about this. I know Toffoli's been under the spotlight a lot. if you're 2-0, I'm not changing anything. That nothing changed at practice today, except for the exception Noel Hanifin wasn't at practice. Didn't sound like any alarm bells were going off. Perhaps there's a day off for Noah. So Connor Mackey skated in his spot with Rasmus Anderson. I'm going by the if it's not broke, don't fix it routine right now. And for the Calgary Flames, 2-0 against two pretty good teams. Yeah, I'm sticking with it. The fan feedback line is 960-960. You can chime in with your thoughts on an early success story for the Calgary Flames. 2-0 on the year. They chased Jack Campbell on Saturday night. Speaking about that, too, hasn't been a great start for Jack Campbell. Stuart Skinner looked really good for the Oilers. Wonder if that's not closer to a 50-50 when it's all said and done. I don't think that Jack Campbell's a problem by any means, but I wonder about that. They've had a lot of faith in Stuart Skinner the last couple of years. He's a good goaltender there. Just wonder if he can take the reins a little bit more after what's been a shaky start to Jack Campbell's tenure as a member of the Edmonton Oilers. We will chat some Calgary Stampeders football coming up in just a couple moments here. We're just efforting Matty Rose from the Big Show with Russick and Rose every day here on Sportsnet, every morning here on Sportsnet 960, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., and wherever you get your podcast. Tough one for them Friday night against the Hamilton Tiger Cats, 35-32, your final. An uncharacteristic game for Jake Mayer, who throws three interceptions in the loss and looks now like the Stampeders' path to a Grey Cup will likely mean heading to BC for the West semifinal. We'll talk to Matt coming up in just a couple of moments here for a live edition of the Calgary Stampeders Report this week. A couple texts, 960-960. Mike from Airdrie texting in, how in the hell did Calgary get away with this schedule to start the season? They have eight home games in a row still. That's brutal. I don't know. I guess it depends on how you look at it. If you're the Flames, it's a good chance to be at home and, you know, set yourself up with a very successful start to the season. If you remember last year, Daryl hasn't talked about it as much this season, but I think it's still an emphasis for him that, hey, look, we want to be a good team at home. We want to make the Saddle Dome a tough place to play. Well, you can do that if you play really well at home to start this. So I mentioned those three home games. Next week, they've got two against Pittsburgh and then Edmonton on Saturday night. Early into November, you go Seattle, Nashville, New Jersey. So, yeah, lots of home games coming up for the Flames. November is very road-heavy for the Flames. They do a couple of those Eastern swings. Boston, New Jersey, New York. You'll head out to Florida for a couple of games. You'll see the Penguins again. So, yeah, it is home heavy for the Calgary Flames, but if you take advantage of it, maybe not much of a problem. This text comes in. Worried about tomorrow, honestly. Stone on a roll with a strong Vegas roster, who if the Flames don't bring their A game, could give the Flames some trouble. And, yeah, the Vegas team has certainly given the Flames some issues in the last couple of seasons. Stone has been good. Good news for the Flames is their Stone has been pretty good too. Interesting to see how that's worked out for both teams. Yeah, I don't think Vegas is a pushover by any means, and I think you have to be prepared for a strong battle tomorrow. Maybe you don't look at them in the same tier as the last two opponents for the Flames in the Oilers and the Avalanche. I think Vegas is still one of those teams that could surprise you if you're not prepared, and I think a lot of people have ruled them out simply because Robin Lehner's hurt for the season. But Logan Thompson, the Calgary kids, looked good. If you can average to slightly above league average goaltending, I think their roster might be good enough to get him in the playoffs. So I don't think that text is all off base in saying that you got to be concerned about Vegas. They have been a thorn in the Flames' side before, and I don't think they are going to be as counted out as some people would have them. So that's the Calgary Flames story. We've got Matty Rose on the line. Matty Rose, of course, our Stampeders insider, And the other half of Russick and Rose on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Good afternoon, Matty. How are you, pal?
Hey, doing well. What's going on?
Not much, man. Just ready to chat some Stampeders football. A tough one on Friday. Dane Evans leads the Ticats on a last-minute touchdown drive to steal victory out of the hands of the Stampeders. I guess just what did you make of what you saw in a high-scoring affair on Friday night?
Yeah, the game overall, back and forth. I think that that's a real tough one for the Stampeders, just especially with the way that it ended. You have that late touchdown to go up, and there's only 55 seconds left on the clock, and you allow a six-play, 63-yard drive to allow the Ticats to go down the field and set themselves up for a game-winning field goal. So you never like when you're so close but yet so far. You know, you can't hang all the defense. There was a 50-yard return off of the ensuing kickoff there. So just a couple of phases that didn't necessarily help out. And then on top of that, there was a play that Trey Odom's Dukes makes on the previous drive that ends in the touchdown where he goes for the touchdown. If he had gone down in bounds, the clock would have let off and the Stampeders would have had a chance to almost kill the clock and end the game with the touchdown. So a couple of instances where just little details kind of got away from the Stampeders. And as a result, they're almost guaranteed to go to BC for that West semifinal in early November. So that's the way the cookie crumbles. A tough way to end the game when, you know, you get yourself back into it with an exciting third and fourth quarter. But that's the way the football works, right? You don't get any loser points or anything like that. It's right back to the drawing board and these two games against Saskatchewan and then that matchup with BC.
An uncharacteristic game in a sense for Jake Mayer. I thought he was strong at certain points, but the three interceptions will stand out for most people. He was only at four interceptions on the year coming into last night's game and then throwing three in that one off the start. I don't think it's anything to worry about. What did you make of Jake's play on Friday?
Yeah, I thought that off the start he was not very good for sure, and he would say the same thing. This is still a guy who went 26 for 35 when it was all said and done. He was 74% efficient, did throw a couple of touchdowns, 251 yards, but those three interceptions on three of the first five drives, the one that ended in a pick six as well, the third one, they're just costly. And honestly, like Dave Dickinson talked about all three after the game, they had a missed route on the first one, second one, Jake kind of needs to eat a sack there. He tries to get rid of the ball, and one of the tabbies makes an outstanding grab. Richard Leonard, the former Stampeder himself, is able to make a nice grab on it. And then there's the pick six. So I think overall, a decent game. He's still going to be the guy for this team for the rest of the season, I would assume, unless something happens to him and he gets banged up. But right now, a little bit of concern. We'll see how he is able to kind of tune up in these last couple of games against Saskatchewan.
Did you think the Stamps got away a bit in the second half from running the ball? I know there was a lot made going into the game about how stout Hamilton's been when it comes to run defense this season. They didn't have Micah Johnson, the former Stampeder, in their lineup as he had returned home for the birth of his child, which, you know, totally understandable. But I thought Kadeem Carey and even Peyton Logan were able to break off a couple of good runs. I just don't know if that play calling continued as much into the second half as some people expected.
Well, the one thing with Kadeem Carey, we were sitting in the press box and it was announced that he was questionable to return to the game. And the very next snap, it was a Kadeem Carey run for about 8 yards. So there were some question marks about what was kind of going on there. But in the end, we do know that he was banged up to an extent and fighting through it. So that's the only thing that I can kind of think of that would lead me to say that they kind of got away from the run game a little bit in the second half. Peyton Logan can certainly do it. But when you're down to that and you kind of understand the stakes of the game and the next couple of games before the playoffs, I totally understand if they kind of took their foot off the run game a little bit in the back half there and just almost trusted Jake Mayer to go out and make some key plays for them, right? And this is a team that was also trailing in the second half. They were trying to make up some ground. They were trailing, what was it, 20-10 after that touchdown in the third quarter, about 3 minutes in. So they had some room to, or some ground to make up. And as a result, I think that would be another reason that they got away from their run game a little bit.
How did you feel Hugh Thornton performed at left tackle?
Yeah, didn't really notice him, which is a good thing. You know, he wasn't getting beat all over the place. That's a great thing. I thought that the right side at times struggled. You know, when Kadeem Carey was running extremely well, a lot of times it was off that left side behind Zach Williams with Hugh Thornton kind of helping out. And I thought every time that they ran off the left side, they were getting some good pushes for Kadeem Carey. So full marks there.
For the Calgary Stampeders, only one sack on the night. Sean Lemon, the ageless wonder, continues to impress. And I think, as you've heard, Matty, from his teammates and from others, that it's an interesting case maybe for Defensive Player of the Year for Sean Lemon. We can talk about that another time. But I guess just from your perspective, how much of that was a factor, the lack of pass rush when it came to what the Ticats were able to do in the second half, especially on that drive late in the game? It felt like they had a good sense of how Calgary was bringing pressure, and they were able to buy a Dane Evans some more time in that pocket for sure.
Yeah, they were. And the thing for me is, like, there was pressure at times, but Dane Evans, if you're able to get to him and you can get him on the ground a couple of times, he starts to get maybe a little bit reckless with the football, and that was not the case in that last game. He was pretty good with it. You know, he only has, I believe, the two turnovers when it's all said and done, and one of them was a turnover on downs on a really questionable decision late in the game, pretty deep in Hamilton territory, that allowed the Stampeders to take their late lead that they eventually lost. So that definitely was a factor. Like, Dane Evans throwing interceptions and turning the ball over, that was a big reason why the Stampeders were able to beat the Ticats in Hamilton way back in week two, the first time that these two clubs met. And now, unfortunately, unable to create the same type of pressure on the quarterback. I thought they did a pretty good job slowing down the run game with Hills and Sean Thomas Erlington, but didn't get that total pressure on Dane Evans, which leads to turnovers and usually leads to more points. Like, this was a really weird first half, and just in general, a really strange game. Because, like I said, you had the uncharacteristic Jake Mayer turnovers. Dane Evans didn't really turn the ball over at all. This is a game where the Stampeders had 421 net yards. They end up losing. They outpossessed the Ticats 38 minutes to 22, and they end up losing. They had way more offensive plays ran. They had 68 compared to just 40 for the Ticats, and like I said, they end up losing this game. So this was a strange one, and not being able to get Dane Evans to the turf and create some more turnovers, that certainly seems strange to me. That felt like something that you could bet money on going into the week as we watch the guys practice and set up for this matchup.
So how do you look at these next 2 weeks, Matty? You got a home-and-home against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They've had a disastrous season. You've still got something on the line if you're the Stampeders, I guess. But things might be decided for you because, really, the odds are against you now getting home field advantage. I'm just curious from a general perspective, and maybe this is something that you'll be looking for this week at practice and when you guys talk to Dave Dickinson in the morning, but I'm just curious how you view it, because it feels like, maybe not this week in particular, but maybe next week when the Riders are in town at McMahon Stadium on the 29th, it kind of feels like that might be an inconsequential game when all things said and done for the Stamps.
Yeah, like, the thing is, the Stamps probably aren't going to have as much to play for. You're probably going to be trying to stay healthy and work on some key things as much as you're going to be going out to try and get a win. Like, even going into the bye, we knew that it was pretty much going to be BC Calgary in the West Division semifinal. The only question was where. And with BC winning two of three games in the season series, they have the tiebreaker. So both teams were 10-5 going into the weekend. BC wins, Calgary loses. So two games left. Calgary would need to win both of theirs, and BC would need to lose both of theirs. And they got Edmonton this week, and then they've got Winnipeg again. So, listen, Calgary could still jump. There could still be a playoff game here November the 6th, but it's probably going to be in BC. And I'm intrigued to see what the kind of weeks of practice are like, because now you're 3 weeks. It's strange because, you know, for a long time, the Stampeders were a team that around this time of the year first was locked up. They were going to get the bye, whatever, get your guys healthy and work on some minute details, that type of thing. Then the last couple of seasons, the Stampeders have had to kind of fight a little bit harder to be in these playoff positions, kind of going down to the last weeks of the season type of thing. And now there's this year where they're not fighting tooth and nail to get into a playoff spot, but there's also really not a whole ton to go on here. Like, granted, Saskatchewan has some battling to do. Both them and Hamilton are now 6-10 with just a couple of weeks to go. So you could do a crossover. And if you're Saskatchewan, you're hosting the Grey Cup, you want literally any chance whatsoever to try and get into the dance. So they've got a lot to play for. Anytime it's against Saskatchewan, you want to beat them as well. But I do just wonder about when we're kind of in game, if there's any time whatsoever where you kind of see a moment or a play and you go, that looked like someone who's, you know, keeping himself ready for the postseason rather than going out and laying a humongous hit on Cody Fajardo.
Last one for you before I let you go. Hypothetically speaking, if week 21 doesn't mean anything to the Stampeders, would you play Bo Levi Mitchell? Would you start Bo Levi Mitchell just in case? It's been a while now since he's seen the field.
Yeah, I can see it. I could also see it because, like, you could be getting him. I don't know if he starts, but I can see where maybe they're like, yeah, we're going to give him the second half type of thing.
Just in case, right?
But it also, like, if you want to have that as, you know, you're playing the Riders, you're at home, if you want to have it as almost framed as kind of Bo's last start at home, I could maybe see something like that, but I don't know if the team is going to commit that far that early on in the season to a decision like that with the offseason looming. So I could see it. It's going to be one of the more intriguing things surrounding that final game. I do hope that we get to see him get in there and take a few drives and kind of get a few more looks in with the offense before, if we do have to say goodbye to what's been one of the better quarterbacks this team has seen.
Matty, appreciate the time as always, man. Keep killing it in the mornings, buddy. We'll talk to you later this week with some more Stamps reports ahead of week 20 on Saturday night in Saskatchewan. Thanks again, Matt.
Thank you very much. Take care, guys.
See you, pal. There you go. Matty Rose from the Big Show in the Morning with Russick and Rose every morning here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. or wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, our Stampeders Insider Stamps at Saskatchewan Saturday to end off week 20 of CFL action. 5 p.m. kickoff from Mosaic Field. That's going to do it for Sportsnet today. Thank you to Lou. Thank you to Matt for joining us, and thank you for listening. We'll take a break. The Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich is next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.